Good morning. I will now call this meeting to order at 8:31. Winter, can you please take roll call? Thank you.
Test, test. Chair Carvalho, Regent Downs. Regent Downs.
Here.
Thank you. Regent McGrath.
Here.
Thank you. You do have a quorum present. Advisory roll call. Mr. Christensen. Ms. DeBonis.
Here.
Dr. Dockweiler.
Here.
Ms. Johns.
Here.
Dr. Martini.
Here.
Mr. Morris.
Here.
Mr. Muehlrath.
Here.
Dr. Odie.
Here.
Ms. Pierce.
Present.
Ms. Silva.
Here.
Dr. Tapia.
Here.
Ms. Wallace.
Here.
Dr. Wright.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Winter. Chancellor McNair, can you please lead us in the pledge? Thank you. I'll now read the land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washoe, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 Sovereign Tribal Nations of Nevada. At this time, I'll move to public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 933-5568-7402 and then passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment here at Nevada State University? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
No callers at this time.
Thank you very much. I will now close public comment and move on to item number two, which is welcome and introductions. So first, I would like to take a moment to thank especially the advisory members who are here with us today. I know that this takes time from your day and your schedule, so I really do appreciate that you prioritize Nevada State as something that's worthy of your time here today. So now I'd like to provide a little bit of information on the structure of the search committees and a rough timeline for our work together. So there are essentially two committees in this process. There is the ad hoc regent committee that is comprised of five regents who have voting authority in this process. There is also the advisory committee that will serve as the voice of the internal and external communities of Nevada State University. And those members don't have a vote, but you definitely have a voice and a say in this process. At this time, I anticipate that the search will take roughly 5 months. Now, that don't hold me to that, but that's the plan right now. The purpose of today's first meeting is to choose a search consultant. And as you see from the agenda, we have three, and they will be presenting to us today for us to decide who we would like to work with. After the search consultant is chosen, the committees will convene again, probably in January, to review and approve a leadership profile and to approve an advertising plan for the screening of the applicants and to bring finalists forward for the meeting of the 3rd. And I at this time, I would assume, final meeting of these committees. I will say that that meeting will be probably an all-day meeting because we will have finalists here with us, and we'll be interviewing and meeting them, and hopefully making a recommendation for a finalist or finalists to move on to the full board for their consideration. Like I said, there is flexibility in that schedule, but we know that it's important to have a permanent president here at Nevada State. My intention is to have that person ready to go on July 1st, which is the beginning of the next academic year. And so I'd like to hold us to that, if possible. Like I said, there's always that flexibility that's built into the process, but that's the plan at this point. So at this time, I would like to take a few moments for everyone on the committees to just give a brief introduction so we all know who we're working with. So first, I will go to the regents on the regent committee. Vice Chair Arascada, I believe he is with us, but I'm not sure if we can hear him. But I will give him a moment to say hello and introduce himself if he'd like. It doesn't sound like he is able to join in right now. He did let me know that he is watching, but he's having some trouble with his internet connection. I'll go to...
Madam Chair?
Oh, great. You're there. Yes, Regent Arascada.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I wanted to say what a great honor it is to be selected as one of the regents to be participating in the search committee. NSU is an upcoming state university, and I look forward to be participatory with the leadership chosen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being here today. Regent Downs.
Thank you. I'm regent for District 11 up in the north, and I appreciate to be a part of this committee and being able to help guide where NSU is going. So thank you.
Thank you. Regent McGrath.
Good morning. I want to echo what my fellow regents have said. It's a very, very important process. NSU is an incredibly important school for the community, and it's an honor to be involved in the search process and to make a well-guided and well-thought-out decision. So thank you so much. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'm not sure if Regent Batista is with us this morning. He is an educator with the Clark County School District, and so I know it's tough for him to join us, but I will say that I'm excited for him also to be on the committee. He is a graduate of Nevada State University, so that's great for him to be able to participate in this process. I'll move to the advisory committee, and I'll take it in the order that we have on the agenda. So first, we have Mr. Glenn Christensen.
Good morning. I'm Glenn Christensen. I'm a longtime supporter of Nevada State University since even before the inception of the school. Station Casinos at the time committed $250,000 for half of the lobbying effort that it took for the school to be created. My wife and I have been here since the beginning. Our son is a magna cum laude graduate of Nevada State University. We have been about as involved in the school as we could possibly be, and we're looking forward to this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Sonia DeBonis.
Good morning. My name is Sonia DeBonis. I am the current visit
counselor. How's that? Is that better? I am the current chair of the Nevada State Foundation. I am going to be finishing up my chairmanship, my three-year chairmanship this December. So this is a really wonderful honor to be able to be on this committee. I was able to be on the board for our last president. So again, it's a double honor to be able to help select the next president. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Catherine Dockweiler.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here with you all. I currently serve as the president of the State Board of Education and a few other lenses that I bring to this work. I'm also currently the director of psychological services for the Clark County School District and a previous academic faculty here at Nevada State University. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Katie Johns.
Hi, my name is Katie Johns. I am the administrative faculty rep for the search. I've been at Nevada State for about 5 years now, and I currently serve as the director of the Career Services Center here.
Thank you. Dr. Pete Martini.
Hi, I'm Pete Martini. I am an associate professor here at Nevada State. This is my fifth year here. I'm also the president of the Academic Faculty Union.
Great. Mr. Matt Morris.
Thank you, Chair. Matt Morris. I'm a proud NSU alum, class of 2009, and it's really a privilege to be a part of this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Scott Muehlrath.
Chair Cavallo, thank you for the invitation to serve. I've worked alongside every one of the university presidents back to Fred Mariansky. And have served on a variety of the commissions and boards over the years. Currently chair the Lands Commission for Nevada State University, or the Lands Corps. So thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Michelle Odie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Michelle Odie. I'm with the School of Nursing, and I'm an assistant professor.
Thank you. Ms. Lahana Pierce.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Lahana Pierce. I am the president for the student body here. I am in my senior year, so I love representing the students. I've been in student government since my freshman year, so I'm excited to work with you all and continue this search. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Raul Tapia.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Is it on? My name is Raul Tapia. I'm an associate professor of business here at Nevada State. I've been here 10 years.
Thank you. Dr. Stacy Wallace.
Good morning. My name is Stacy Wallace, and I am the vice chair for the Classified Council, and I'm also the administrative assistant for finance and business operations here, and I am happy to be part of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Kinsey Wright.
Hi, I'm Kinsey Wright. I'm an assistant professor of special education here at Nevada State. This is my fourth academic year here at Nevada State. And I just look forward to being a small part of the next chapter of Nevada State.
Thank you. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to give Astrid Silva a moment as well.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Astrid Silva. I am a very proud alum, class of 2016/17. We had some document issues, but I'm very proud to be part of this. I run a nonprofit, Dream Big Nevada, that helps immigrant families and all of our Nevada families go to college, and Nevada State University is very important to all of us.
Thank you very much, and thank you again, all of you, for serving in this very important capacity. Next, I'll move on to item number 3, Nevada Open Meeting Law, and for this, I will turn it to Special Counsel Chris Nielsen.
Good morning, committee members. Again, for the record, my name is Chris Nielsen. I'm the Special Counsel to the Board, and I'm here to provide you with a brief overview of Nevada's Open Meeting Law. I know many of you are familiar with those rules, especially the regents on this committee, and many of you have participated, but I think just a kind of a highlight of how those rules work is warranted. The open meeting law is a body of law codified in Chapter 241 of the Nevada Revised Statutes. So it's in Nevada law. Just about every state has some iteration of it, but it's usually state by state. The fundamental purpose of the open meeting law is to promote open and transparent government. This purpose is not only for the actions and decisions made by a public body, but also with respect to the, you know, accompanying materials as well. The Nevada Attorney General's Office enforces the open meeting law rules. If there are concerns and if a complaint is lodged, they may investigate. And ultimately, if the AG's office finds that a body is out of compliance, they have certain tools in their toolbox to issue civil and or criminal penalties. And then also the biggest hammer is they have ability to rescind the actions of a body. It's important to know that the open meeting law applies, as I said, to public bodies, but it also applies to advisory members as well. So it being as part of an advisory, even though you're not saline elected officials like the regions, you are still subject to these rules as well. The key really is whether taxpayer resources are being used to fund the operations of this committee. So, as such, this NSU Presidential Service Committee is subject to the open meeting law rules. So what defines a meeting of this committee? A meeting is defined as a gathering of members of a public body where a quorum is present. A quorum is majority. So here we have five regents on the search committee. So a quorum is three or more of the regents. An issue that often comes up with respect to compliance with the open meeting law is what's called a walking quorum. A so-called walking quorum typically occurs and is usually unintentional. It's where there's a series of gathering of meetings, oftentimes via email or outside the actual meeting itself, where communication takes place and deliberation with respect to what the public body is charged with ultimately taking action on. And so oftentimes it's innocent. It can occur during breaks, during the water cooler scenario. And so, again, oftentimes it's unintentional, but we just have to be mindful of that when we take breaks, and especially as the community moves forward to taking certain actions with respect to, vendor selection and then candidate selection, et cetera. More specifically, deliberation is a term of art defined within the open meeting law, and it's, quote, to examine, weigh, reflect upon the reasons for or against the action. The term includes, without limitation, collective discussion and the collective acquisition or exchange of facts preliminary to the ultimate decision. So again, as a rule of thumb, when we're on breaks or when we're out in between meetings, it's just caution. It's best to just wait until we're reconvened and to discuss the business at the appropriate time per the agendas that we publish. Speaking of agendas, this work is done by the board staff in advance for your behalf, but under the open meeting law, we have to post agendas at least 3 working days prior to the meeting at certain locations. The materials, of course, unless there's some specific confidentiality aspect, are public as well, or readily available to the public. Looking at today's agenda, and all agendas work this way, when we're at the meeting, you'll see 2 different types of items. You'll see information-only items, and you'll see for possible action items, and I think that just is kind of self-explanatory. Information items, regents won't be making any motions, or can't be making any motions, and then once we get to an action item or for possible action, while they're not required to take action, there's usually intended to take action where you'll see motions and seconds and whatnot to approve certain things that this body is charged with. Another critically important aspect of the open meeting law is the public comment. We had one just to kick off this meeting. There's a little bit different ways we're allowed to do this pursuant to Nevada law. The way most public bodies do it and the way we do it is we have 2 public comment periods, one at the beginning of the meeting and one towards the end, and so you'll see that throughout this process. And again, it's self-explanatory. It's meant for members of the public to voice opinions on the matters subject to the jurisdiction of this body. And the rule there is really there's not really supposed to be any meaningful or really any interaction. It's an opportunity for members of the public to put something on the record. The final kind of hallmark of compliance with open meeting laws is what it's called, just kind of like sticking to the agenda. You'll see whether it's an information item or for a possible action item, we have to kind of stay within the goalpost of what was noticed. While something may seem relevant, I'm kind of here to guide you with the chair to make sure that we stick on script as we go through each of the agenda items. Other than that, Chair, if there's any questions, that's my summary.
Thank you, Special Counsel Nielsen. Are there any questions regarding the open meeting law? Seeing none, I think most of us are fairly familiar with it, so... we'll move on to item number 4, search firm presentations. So to start us off, I will have Chief of Staff Carrie Nikolajewski introduce this item.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Carrie Nikolajewski, Chief of Staff, just going to offer a brief summary of how we got to where we are today. On October 17th, the Board of Regents took action to commence a national search for the next president of Nevada State University and to engage the services of a search consultant to aid the search committee. Following the policy of the board, a request for qualifications was issued on November 5th to just over 50 search firms that serve the higher education sector. We cross-reference our list with the Hunt Scanlon Top 50 higher ed search firms. We received 17 proposals in response to the RFQ. And on November 14th, I met with Chair Carvalho and Chancellor McNair to review the proposals and select three firms to present to the committee today. They are Academic Search, Whit Kiefer, and AGB Search. We sent out to everyone on Friday a copy of their proposal and also posted that online for the public. They will present one at a time today, and there'll be time for Q&A after each presentation. And then the Regents Committee will take action to select one firm to support the search today. That concludes my summary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chief of Staff Nikolajewski. So at this time, I will invite the first firm, Academic Search, to come to the podium to make their presentation. So it looks like we have Dr. Mary Kennard and Dr. Jay Lemons with us here today. Welcome.
Good morning, all. It is a great pleasure and an honor for us to be here. Thank you, Madam Chair, Chancellor McNair, members of this important body that has been marshaled to begin your deliberations about succeeding dynamic, incredible president that you had in Dorian Pollard. I had an entire tour of the campus this morning, bouncing from building to building. So I recognize your name, Mr. Christensen, and it's an extraordinary honor that you have, but also all of you in terms of being a part of one of the most dynamic institutions in the United States that has as ambitious a growth goals over the course of the coming decade as any that there is. And I'm recognizing that you all have precious lands here for the development of an amazing campus. So we're really honored to be among the three finalists. My role here is to say a little bit about Academic Search, to be here in support of my colleague Mary Kennard, who's here, and Gabriel Esteban, who is also here via Zoom. Gabriel is not able to be here, and so I'm really thrilled to have this chance to be here. Just a little bit about us. We are the very first and the largest search organization that serves higher education exclusively, founded in 1976. We are owned by the American Academic Leadership Institute, which is an organization that is a not-for-profit whose sole role is to try and help grow and diversify the next generation of faculty to serve American higher education. In 1976, the founding notion was that former leaders in higher education would have knowledge, wisdom, insight that could help institutions during these times of transition. It began as a little bit of an experiment. At that time, about 1% of institutions used search organizations. Today, it's 99%. I remind my colleagues that we were in some ways, invoking Clayton Christensen, the original disruptors, because we did change this space. Many of the methods that most of the more than 50 institution or organizations that do higher ed search use methods that were created by my colleagues and I. I will tell you that I have been there 8.5 years as the president. Prior to that, I was a campus president for 25 years. And it is that sort of background that continues to be how we prepare and build our teams, really knowledgeable, experienced people that know how to speak the language of higher education, share the values of those of you who are from the campus community, and understand what it means to be an interlocutor with a board and to represent the institution in a variety of circumstances. Finally, I guess I would say that we have really strong networks. of people that we can get to. And it is the love of the hunt that keeps many of us going, that opportunity to think about who do we know who might be right. And sometimes, I have done this twice, where the very first call I have made ended up being someone that someone else selected. I didn't have anything to do with it other than trying to put them in play. Our institutional partners guide this process. We've done more than 900 presidential and chancellor searches, total of 2,600 searches. About two-thirds of our appointees have resulted in the appointment of women and or persons of color. And we're really proud that 91% of our presidents and chancellors remain in office 5 years after their appointment. And if you have followed the latest ACE study of the college presidency, 5.7 years is the average tenure. So we really feel good about that. We come to you with some knowledge and experience. I'm delighted that we were able to, and the very team that we're talking about here, your near neighbors at the College of Southern Nevada, guided that search. I would also note that we gave you on loan. Dr. Bill Kibler was a member of our team until you asked him to serve, and we appreciated the ability to do that. We also did a search up at in Reno for the Executive Vice President and Provost. These are all searches done in the last 3 years. There's a long sampling of the searches that follow that, but you'll see we've done a number of searches here in the West, Cal State Bakersfield. We've just finished the search at Cal State Poly Humboldt, and a variety of other searches around the country. I'm going to let my colleague, Dr. Gabriel Esteban, lend us his voice. His brief bio is here, but Gabriel, tell them in a minute. Introduce yourself, sir.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, and advisory committee. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you. I'm Gabriel Esteban, a senior consultant with Academic Search. Mary and I recently successfully partnered with the board, advisory committee, and the college community in the College of Southern Nevada presidential search. As with several of my colleagues at Academic Search, who have decades of experience in higher education, I've had the opportunity to serve as president at two private universities, as provost at both a private and public university, and as a faculty member and business dean at public universities. I bring that lived experience and understanding of higher education to senior leadership services. Thank you. Mary?
Thank you, Gabriel. I enjoy working with Gabriel very much. My name is Mary Kennard, and I've been with Academic Search about 3 years now. And before that, I served as the Vice President and General Counsel for American University in Washington, D.C., so I still live in Bethesda, Maryland, in Montgomery County, and have about 40 years worth of experience. I've been on the faculty of most of the schools where I've served as an administrator, including the law faculty at American University, but also at the University of Pittsburgh, where I developed some academic programs as well. I've had a lot of different kinds of jobs as a counsel. In addition to that work, I also managed the HR departments and kicked off two capital campaigns, university-wide capital campaigns, so development experience as well. And I think that's the unique thing about Academic Search, is that the people that are working with you have higher education administrative experience, been in the trenches, know the issues. So when we're talking to the candidates, or when we're talking especially to the references, we can get down to the meat of what's going on and what you need in your next leader. I'm going to talk a little bit about the search process. Let's see, there we go, got the right button. Our process is similar to many others, but we have a great support staff behind Gabriel and I, including the general management of the search. We assign staff professionals to help manage all of the materials that come in, the website and portal, the development of the advertising plan, and as well as scheduling of interviews, holding of the Zoom meeting, so we have a lot of technical support behind that. I'll let Jay address any of the aspects of finance, so I don't do much of that work, but we do work with the institutions to make sure that the process runs smoothly and people are happy with the result. In terms of our marketing and design, we also have a great support to develop a really fulsome profile, and I think it's important. We take a long time to listen to the campus to find out exactly what you need at this particular time in the leadership of the institution, and we put that into our advertising and the profile to give applicants not just a sense of the institution, but also things that are important for their family, to look at the challenges ahead so they know what the institution needs as far as going forward. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the search process. As it's probably what most of you expect, we meet with stakeholders on the campus to get a real sense of the critical issues for the next leader. And then I go and look for people who know how to conduct that type of work. If you need somebody who's data-driven or risk-taker or whatever, some of the particular soft skill qualities, I look at those. But it's because of my 40 years of being on a campus that when I'm listening to the campus community, I'm really listening to hear what's important in the next phase of your institutional development. I think that's why I like working at Academic Search, because it gives me an opportunity to continue to help build great institutions, and that's what I've been doing for 40 years. So then we do the recruitment work. We call on our network. All of the other senior search consultants are past presidents or vice presidents, so we have a wide network of people that we know to make recommendations. We also seek recommendations from everyone, internal candidates, external candidates. We work with each and every one of them as we go through the process to get them ready for the interviews. We develop the interview questions that help a committee and really hone in on the important skills that you need. And then once you make a selection of a set of finalists, we do the due diligence work. That's Gabriel and I will actually call all of the references personally on list as well as off list references and develop a fulsome report about this person, not just they're talking with their supervisors, but also talking with their colleagues as well as subordinates to get a real understanding of who this person is, how they work, what are their, you know, best skills and so forth. And then we do a deep background check with lots of things, lots of social media and all the rest that goes along with that. So you'll have a really full report about what this person is like and how they might fit with your campus. And finally, at the end, we do a fair amount of work to make sure that we close the deal, that we work with the campus and make sure that the candidate is clear about what the expectations are financially as well as other kinds of support, whether it's information that they need to make a family decision to move and so forth. Our time frame is about just what Regent Carvalho discussed. We usually do an advertisement plan that advertises the search for about 4 to 6 weeks. 6 weeks is probably better than 4. We get started as soon as you get started, and so we'll start listening and reading about the institution to get as much information as we can to develop this final profile. We'll then present the portal and the list of candidates. I try to go for quality over quantity. I don't want a lot of people who really are just throwing their name in the hat. I'm looking for specific people that have the requisite qualifications and skills that you're looking for. So you'll have a quality pool. It'll be extremely diverse. I pride myself on making sure that that happens. And We then will work with you to narrow the field. As I said, we help develop the interview questions or anything else that you need. We'll conduct the due diligence. And finally, close the search. So if all goes well, you know, you could make an announcement in late April. Academic Search also has additional support, in addition to just the search work, to help support the campus. And I think this sort of harkens back, right, to our founding, that we're really interested in the institution as a whole and its leadership as well. So we have executive coaching as well as other transition support services that help a candidate hit the ground running. Our fee, as you see, is about a third of the base salary with some reimbursable expenses. We try to keep them as low as we possibly can with a maximum and a minimum as well. And I think also what is important is that we do provide a guarantee. So it's in our interest to find a great candidate who wants to be here, that's really committed to moving here. So we want them to stay so that we don't have to do the search again. We do a lot of work around ensuring that we have great success. And that sort of concludes my presentation. I did pretty good. You know, you only get 30 minutes at the United States Supreme Court, so I figured 20 will do.
Mary, if I might just clarify that our fee is fixed at a maximum cap of $115,000. So, and I suspect that you'll be at 30%, you'll be at a higher rate than that. But we don't want any light between you and us and your candidates when it comes to that important point of conversation.
Thank you. I will open it up to the region committee first for any questions that you may have for Academic Search. Hearing none at this time. Oh, yes, Regent McGrath.
I was just curious. There are certainly specific issues that we have here in Nevada in terms of workforce and just cultural, economic issues. How do you go about identifying candidates who really understand kind of that landscape and might be a good fit?
Well, I spend a lot of time talking directly to the candidate about their goals and aspirations and where they've been and so forth. So, for example, with Stacy, who's the president at College of Southern Nevada, you know, I worked with him early on, you know, to ensure that he understood where the campus was going, what were the opportunities within it, as well as what were some of the challenges as well. And so it's really the conversations that I have. I mean, I usually have four or five conversations with a candidate even before they even get to the finalist stage in the campus visit, and then we're spending a lot more time together to make sure that they do their best presentation as well.
I might just add, thank you for the question, that this is the importance of the pre-search assessment visit. Mm-hmm. That time invested on the campus with as many of your constituents as absolutely possible. And we know that not everybody can make a meeting or a day and a half when you're there. And so we have really moved towards using survey instruments to try and gather up as much opinion as we can. And guess what? Everybody has stuff. I appreciated your technical language there, Regent McGrath. And the more that we know and understand the institution and its current circumstances, we think the better we are at helping to describe it and to help candidates to discern on their own whether the interest is one they wish to pursue.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the presentation.
Gabriel, was there anything else you wanted to add? No. Okay.
No, I mean, both of you answered. I mean, it's about getting to know the campus. So that's a key component, getting to understand. I mean, I'm doing two searches now with a university which is big into workforce development, job placement, very similar in some ways to you, except they're a private institution. So in talking to candidates, as Mary points out, Our goal is to make sure they understand. First of all, we understand what you're looking for, and they understand whether or not their skill sets fit with the institution.
Thank you. I'll next go to Regent Arascata.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to express my appreciation for the campus survey assessment. But on top of the campus survey assessment, how many publications will you be reaching out to? And or do you have a list of potential suitors that have already voiced interest in this position?
I think you're speaking to the advertising plan, perhaps, Regent Arascata. We do have kind of a standard list of the places where we think the people who will have the right credentials will be looking for these positions. So, I'm going to take a little risk here. I would say please don't advertise in Indeed.com or you will have 5,000 applications. Ranging from the taxi driver in New York City who shows up in a lot of our searches to people who really do have good credentials. But the Chronicle of Higher Education, Inside Higher Education, HigherEducation.jobs are really the core. And then we typically will go to some regional and or some associational lists as well in seeking to reach out. A week ago today, I was presenting at the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, the regional public institutions of which Nevada State is a part. Our team will have plenty of people that they will be engaging and talking with. I think you've got a real plum here. And so I think you ask about publications. And yes, of course, we have a database that's about 128,000 people strong. We will not pitch this to all of them because not all of them are right for you. Not all of them are ready for this step. But we will slice and dice it to take aim at making an announcement and inviting conversations. And for us, the conversations are really the critical ones because it's one lead leads to another. So thank you for the question. Gabriel wants to add a word, it looks like.
Yeah, and one of the things we also are involved in, a number of us at Academic Search, is in leadership development. I've been actively involved with Asia Pacific Americans in higher ed. They have a leadership development program based out of California, and I've been involved with them for 20 plus years. And so I have a network, Mary has her network. I have a network of colleagues who are potential leaders. So as soon as we know that we're going to be involved in this search, we reach out to our contacts. And that's a active source, Ask You we're heavily involved with. So those are, a lot of times, it's the network, the relationships we've developed over time, which is important because you're going to have a number of candidates who may not think they're looking until you talk to them. And that, I think, is going to be a big source of candidates for us.
Wonderful. Thank you for the response.
Thank you. I'll open it up to other regents or members of the advisory committee if you have any questions. Yes, Ms. Silva.
There we go. You mentioned the student survey. What other methods are used to involve current students and faculty?
Well, the very presence of students on the search committee is a pleasing sign to us of the value of student engagement in this process. When our team is here for a pre-search assessment visit, they would want to meet with a group of students in person. We would depend on you to help identify what would be the right representative group of people to interact with, and then to encourage them to encourage their colleagues to complete those online surveys. And here, in this context, it's a public presence. There's an opportunity for students to be involved right till the body brings its recommendation to the Board of Regents. That helpful?
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Muhlrath.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Appreciate the involvement with our Nevada system of higher education before. So Nevada State University, the search, I think we'd all should agree, would be very student-focused. It's a very diverse campus. It's a very aspirational campus, and also balancing that with the development opportunities. So I'm wondering if you maybe have some specific examples where you found leadership for universities that both had the that could balance the development opportunities, you know, to grow and fund the university together with a student focus background in the job description.
Yes, absolutely. And those are the kinds of qualities that I'm looking for that are unique to an institution, and especially with 400, I would have given my eye to for 450 acres of developed land. We had 80 acres at American University, and it was a tight fit. So lucky you. So yes, I'll be looking for somebody who's entrepreneurial, that has a sense of what all this campus could be. It's a really wonderful opportunity. So
the sensibility of the founding of the institution with a focus on serving the region and workforce is clear. I love hearing the student-focused questions. Were it a decade earlier in my own life and time, I would have given an eye tooth to come and be your leader, because I see extraordinary opportunity to be a part of building a dynamic institution. And look, demographically, our neighbors to the west here are going to be struggling in the coming decade. The competition for students is going to be intense. But you are in one of the most dynamic economic regions of the country. That also presents itself probably with a lot of competition with respect to the philanthropic dollars, but also opportunities for people who have real ability to make a difference. Finally, I would say it's exciting to me to see that your first intercollegiate athletic teams are being birthed. As a former track and field intercollegiate athlete, I'd love that you're starting with track and field on the men's side. And flag football is extraordinary as a sport for women, and I think is going to only continue to explode. Those are the sorts of opportunities that I think will really attract the right person. You want somebody who's going to want to be focused on knowing as many people here as they can. Now, that's challenging as you grow from 8,000 to 18,000 or beyond, and yet it's about culture and trying to create and nurture a culture. I spent a few years of my life, young life, at Texas A&M, a place that grew from 3,600 students to 36,000 in less than a decade. Golly Pete, Texas A&M, if any of you know it, has a heartbeat that is pure, and they know it, even though they're now 70,000 students, because they started out intentionally creating a campus culture that was really student-focused. Gabriel, I know you want to jump in here.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. One of the things which I think will be exciting for any would-be president is I was looking at your numbers for a student, and I was looking at your retention rates. I mean, you talk about student focus. Your retention rate has steadily gone up since the COVID years, which is quite encouraging. Plus, your advising center has done great work. So they've increased the difference between students who see your advisors is double digits. So the impact of advising, the student support services you provide, on retention, persistence, and eventually graduation is exciting. I think that's something which would excite any would-be president. And fundraising with all the potential. I think one of the things which stuck with me when we did the presidential search there last year was a comment made by a regent who said that in the Las Vegas area, all you need to know is 50 people, that you know everyone. Meaning, to me, it meant that there was a sense of a small town which grew, and that people were interconnected, which is great from a fundraising standpoint. As Jay well knows, and my life as a former president at private institutions, it's all about developing relationships. That, to me, would be very exciting wherever you choose as president. The student focus, the opportunities for growth in terms of fundraising, all leads to great potential. So this is going to be an exciting opportunity for the right individual.
Thank you. Dr. Martini, did you have a question? Mr. Christensen.
Yes. This is my third presidential search, and each one has been different. How do you folks define a successful presidential search? I noticed that 91% of your folks that you have found stayed for 5 years or more. I think it's critical, and especially an institution like ours, that we get as much longevity out of it as possible. Our first 9 years, we had seven presidents. We then had the next president was there for 10 years, and now we've had one for around five. So I'm curious as to know, how do you define success?
Well, I'll jump in. Mary, you can add to this because you have watched a lot of presidencies and the institutions that you have served from a different chair. I believe that continuity of leadership is really critical to institutional advancement and growth. Places that are in perpetual churn are almost always starting and stopping and starting again anew. And so I think it is, and I, you know, candidly, a part of our work on the leadership development front is to try and help leaders to have the capacities to do the long run, because it really does take a long extended effort to really have the sort of salutary impact that you hope leaders will have on a campus. That's counter to the national trends. But I will tell you, I think about that all the time. How do you know when you have a successful alum? Well, you know, it might be that they get hired, but I think about successful lives. And here, while we use the five-year marker as our estimate, it's really about what those leaders do during their time in leadership. And again, I look back at a number of the very, very long-term leaders that we placed. Mark Wrighton at Washington University in St. Louis is one that jumps to my head. You know, he was there 24 years in a major Research One institution. That just doesn't happen very often. So it is discerning which is going to be the right one is the really hard part, where we need the help and support of the committees here and the Board of Regents to try and make the best decisions that we can about who will have that capacity. But I think you want to begin in the course of the pre-search assessment visit. We will be asking, what's the president here need to focus on and do in the course of the next 5 and 10 years? What are the big tasks ahead for leadership? Getting that right will maximize your chances, I think.
I have another question.
Sure.
I think everybody around this table will agree with this statement. This is an incredible institution with unbelievable potential. Yeah. What I think we need is the most energetic, most thoughtful leader that we can find. I noticed in your materials that it mentioned 64% of your folks are people of color and women. How should the regents think about that as they're considering this decision?
I guess I would say it this way. I think you're looking for the finest leader that you can. A part of the reason that we include that data is it's been important to our institutional partners. And we believe in drawing on the very best talent under the blue sky, not just half the talent or some fraction of the talent, but all of the best talent that's out there. We want to try and present and bring to you as you make the decisions.
One last question. Do you think the compensation that we're offering for this position is sufficient to get the kind of energetic leader that we need?
My judgment about that is I think you are in the ballpark. I think that if you are staying with where you have been historically, I think that you are in the ballpark. Now, I have not done a scrub of the full compensation package. I doubt that there is an official residence. That's a significant compensatory benefit that impacts a lot of presidential compensation. But thinking about, from what we have seen, I think that you're in the ballpark.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Chair. This might be a tough question to answer, but I'm gonna try to ask the question.
You've been doing this for a long time. Sounds like you've been doing this since 1976, and you've done a few thousand of these types of searches. Is there anything about your process that you might change or adjust that's specific to NSU? We're a unique campus. I think you've touched on that in your presentation. But is there a way, as you, you know, if you engage in this process, are there ways for you to think about doing things differently than you have in other searches?
I'm going to take a little risk here because my colleagues will be the ones carrying out the work. But I believe more data is better than less data. I believe every opportunity to meet a candidate gives you an opportunity to collect data. I believe that the opportunities to spend time with people, even maybe share a meal with them, can be valuable. I guess I would encourage you to think about, can your process allow for maybe two rounds before you come to identifying that group of finalists, as an example? That's where my colleagues will make me pay for this. But this is one of the things that I would tell you is a gift of the curse of COVID, because it has become very much a part of what I have tried to do in the searches that I am leading, because I really believe you get more confidence the more opportunities you have to spend time with candidates. That's the thing that jumps to my mind.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, is that you get one sense of a person when you're on Zoom, but there's no substitute for when they're in person. You just get a better sense of who they are and whether they're a good fit for your institution. And they can even look great on paper. I think because I spend a lot of time with who I think might be your best candidate choices, although I don't try to put my thumb on the scale on any of them, you know, I try to gauge a lot more about who this person is, whether they're, where they are in their career trajectory, whether they want to make a 10-year commitment to the institution or, and not somebody, if that's an important point for your institution. So my what I'm looking for is adjusted based on the uniqueness of this institution at this particular time in its development.
Thank you. I'll offer the last question to Dr. Tapia.
You had mentioned in your presentation doing searches for community colleges and other bigger state universities. Mm-hmm. When drafting a profile or advertisement for a smaller state institution like like NSU, what qualities do you typically look for in an institution like ours compared to a community college or a bigger state school? Or is there a difference in the type of candidate that you try to recruit?
Well, we really build it off of what we hear the community telling us you want and need. And we have done a full range. So I think about a couple of the recent searches that I did. Matt, you will appreciate this. Peru State College. It is hard to get more rural than Peru State College in Peru, Nebraska, where there is, I think, really one place of commerce in the entire community or village of about 300 people. It's an institution of about 1,200 or 1,300. From that to, the University of Southern Indiana is an institution that in some ways is a place that this place ought to be looking at a little bit. A youngish institution that has just grown like Topsy in Evansville, Indiana. It's about 8,500 students now. Athletics has been a significant part of its development, and they have just recently made the transition to Division I. But they're, two very, very large places, as you've said. And I would say that we take the cues and the orders that we get from a campus community in terms of thinking about who we're going to focus our recruitment on, but also I'm a huge believer that there is great leadership in every sector of American higher education, in our two-year institutions, in our four-year institutions, in our small institutions, in our large institutions. And it's really trying to find the intersections of what a place needs, wants, and values with the particular skills of the sets of candidates. So it's not exactly one thing. Other than, I think most places want and value many of the same qualities in their leaders. A year ago, we sponsored research done by some higher ed scholars out of Howard and the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, around what are the competencies needed. And that includes the whole of American higher education. And guess what? Trust and the ability to build trust. The ability to build a highly efficient and effective team. Communication savviness. The ability to have courage to make hard decisions. The ability to be resilient, because life ain't linear. It goes up and down for all of us. These are the qualities that I think transcend every institution in the country.
I think Gabriel had something to add. Gabriel?
Sorry, Gabriel.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. No. I just wanted to share, I've been at public institutions from 1,500 to 12,000 in rural Arkansas, rural Texas. And while they were different in the setting versus the private institutions where I serve, what Jay pointed out, you still look for the same traits. The leaders, the really successful leaders, shared those traits. They also shared the ability to be adaptable, right? The flexibility. And that's very important. So as we look at potential candidates, as we spend time working with them and trying to encourage them to look at Southern Nevada, those are things, the leadership traits which Jay mentioned, being able to thrive in different environments, those are things which we're going to look at very closely as a search firm.
Thank you. With that, I will close out your presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We wish you well. We'll be cheering for you no matter where you go.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next up is Whit Kiefer. So my notes say that we have senior partner Christine Pendleton and senior partner Charlene Aguilar with us today. Welcome.
Right, just getting settled here. There we go. All right, so good morning, everyone. Thank you all so much for the invitation to come and talk to you all a little bit today about why Whit Kiefer is the best partner for you as you all move forward in your next presidential search. Just a little bit about the firm. We are the premier global executive search and leadership advisory firm dedicated to serving organizations that are committed to improving the quality of life. How we define that, the quality of life ecosystem, more specifically, is we work primarily in the education realm, nonprofit realm, healthcare, life sciences, academic medicine. So those areas that really focus and work to improve the quality of life for all. We have been in business for over 56 years, and we not only help institutions and organizations find the right leader at that time in their history, but we also provide other advisory services to help them and their teams be successful in their roles. Each year in our education market, we conduct over 300 searches for a range of positions. But more specifically, our firm has conducted over 100 presidential searches within the last 5 years for a range of institutional types.
Shirley? So is Chris, sorry about that. Good morning, everybody. As Christine mentioned, we're the only top 10 search firm that specializes in the nonprofit sector, so across education, across healthcare, across social and civic organizations and nonprofit, which means there's lots of leaders out there that cross all those sections.
We've developed really deep and trusted partnerships with national leaders across all of this, and we're additionally buoyed, as Christine mentioned, how long we've been in existence, by colleagues who are dedicated to support Nevada State with unparalleled expertise. In the past 5 years, we've supported, as Christine noted, more than 135 presidential searches for colleges and universities like Nevada State, focused on mission, purpose, values, and a commitment to fostering opportunity and academic excellence for student success to champion a thriving future. President Chancellor placements serve 8 years from that we've placed. 97% of our clients are highly satisfied. Can we turn to the next slide? I want to share with you some featured placements, so you have some texture to all of that. So here you've got people who are successful, yet they're different, and they've had diverse paths to their presidencies, each experienced as transformational with their institutions, by their institutions, and they're thriving. They're advancing strategic government university industry collaborations, public and private partnerships, and community engagement. Sal Ochoa from Texas A&M in San Antonio, he's also an alum of that institution. He's a passionate advocate for student achievement and success, leading now academic programs that address workforce needs for Bexar County, it could be Bexar. Obviously, I'm not from Texas, though. My husband's a Tejano. And his path was provost, senior vice president for academic affairs at a public institution, and then dean of a college of education, just so you have a little background. We've also got Taylor Egme, whose path, he was a chief researcher for three different campuses, and he's made incredible strides for UT San Antonio, linking educational attainment to the city's economic development. Under his leadership, he also merged UT Health Sciences and folded them in. They've got more graduates than ever before. They're driving job development and the city's knowledge economy. And then we've got Tamika LeGrand from Prairie View. And she was at Virginia Commonwealth. And she was a vice president for enrollment management and strategic enrollment management and student success. She was also at UT Houston's downtown as a vice president for enrollment management. And she's such a champion for innovation and a catalyst for Prairie View. And then the last person I wanted to share is Dr. Linda Thompson. In her path, she served on the mayor's cabinet and as director of operational medicine and safety in Baltimore City. And then she was special secretary for children, youth, and families at the state level and developed programs and policies to improve equality of care for vulnerable populations of children, including those in foster care, juvenile justice, special education, or special health care needs. She leads with purpose and passion to provide a transformative educational experience while simultaneously championing the value of public liberal arts, sciences, and professional studies. Christine?
Thank you. Just one thing that we did want to note about these featured placements. Each of them all have a different path, but they were all equipped to serve the unique needs of the institution and what they needed at that time. So all four of these searches, either myself or Charlene conducted. And specifically taking a look at Dr. LeGrand, one of the needs of that campus, the Board of Regents for the Texas A&M system, wanted to see higher metrics on student success outcomes for that campus. Interesting with them, they are an HBCU, so an access institution, but they're also a research university. They have R2 status. So that's a unique blend. You don't see many access institutions that are also research universities. So Dr. LeGrand has been doing phenomenal work at Prairie View, getting a lot of national attention, the trends that the Regents want to see have been transforming. And they've recently received a second gift from Mackenzie Scott, who has also taken notice about her the leadership and where the campus is going. So a good example of identifying the campus need, what the campus needed at that time, which was very different from their previous president, and our team finding the right match for them. So just a little bit about us. So the team that you see here in front of you today will be the team that will lead your search. I will be your primary point of contact throughout the search. And if for some reason you all are not able to reach me, Charlene would be the person that you would contact who would also know exactly what was going on in the search. We know you had a chance to read our bios in the proposal, so we won't go into a lot of detail about our backgrounds, but I did want to talk a little bit about why we picked this team to support this search. So whenever we have an opportunity come about at the firm, we do take a look at all of our search consultants to determine who would be the best match to work with that institution. This team that you have in front of you not only has depth of experience in presidential search, but also has depth of experience serving minority-serving institutions and a personal passion for advancing access for those who have been traditionally left out of higher education. A little bit about me. I'm a senior partner with the firm based in Chicago and have conducted over 30 presidential searches in my career for a range of institutional types. But most of my search work is for institutions that focus on student success, social mobility, and access.
And just a tiny bit about me, because I think, Christine, you did a great job. I've conducted about 170 searches across all leadership and on the higher ed leadership team. And I'm out of South Bend, originally from California, first-generation Latina, and I had my father, Raul, who was my champion to get me through college. And I have been, as Christine mentioned, you've seen our bios, so you know that I've been in higher education for over 20 years prior to coming to Whitkiefer.
And I mentioned that we have a personal passion for serving institutions like Nevada State. In addition to my search work, I also co-chair the firm's diversity council, and Charlene heads up our diversity officer practice, and we have worked together on many searches and do find joy in partnering with each other.
So I'm just going to get us started on this slide, because we do want to leave time for questions and want to respect your time. Our in-house analysts, you'll see original research, nominations, personal networks, advertising, and broad outreach. Our researchers scour online resources. They comb websites. They look at conferences for leaders. And then, in addition, we have our own contacts. So in that research database, we have 1.2 million contacts that we have just scoured. So our network is global in scale. And again, relationship and trust is really, really important. And we know the people who are coming forward. We know their stories. We know their family. We're talking to them and saying Happy Thanksgiving or Feliz Navidad, whatever matters to them.
So let's talk a little bit about what our partnership and the roadmap for us to get there. We mentioned previously that we are really focused on finding the right match for the institution at that point in history. So we'll spend a good bit of time at the start of the search getting a better understanding about what Nevada State needs in its next president, qualities, qualifications that it may be important for that person to have. So thinking about your goals for growth, for land development, for expansion, who are the types of leaders who may have those critical competencies that can help them be successful in the role? You're not just looking at a specific title that someone has, because as Charlene mentioned and talked about those paths, everyone had a very different path to the presidency. But the focus is really on what are the skills, the experiences that a person has had that would help make them successful in this community. From there, once we've developed the profile, we'll go out and do our outreach and engagement, leveraging first our database, our personal networks, nominations, which is a fantastic way for the broader community to be engaged in the search process as well as advertising the position. So that the advertising piece is a little bit more of a passive way of recruitment, but it is very important to get the word out about the opportunity.
Can I just say, yeah? And for those nominations, when Christine is talking about, that's a really great way for the community to be involved. We follow up with each and every one of them. We don't let those slide in any way, shape, or form. And similarly with internal candidates, we want to treat everyone with respect and care.
You know, once we've finally developed the candidate pool, we'll present that for your consideration. And provide some insight and context about their backgrounds. One of the great things about partnering with us with our experiences, we have a sense of some of the candidates who may emerge and their backgrounds and experiences. So we may have additional notes on them, references that we've done in the past, or be able to tap people that may have worked with them in previous roles to gain some more insight about them. We'll also assist with decision-making and appointment, presenting the candidates, the final candidates, and presenting a sense of their strengths and weaknesses to help the board ultimately make a decision. So this is a sample timeline. We're ready to begin the search as soon as a contract is finalized. Can begin doing some planning in December. And I think was mentioned earlier that we'd probably have your profile finalized in January, which is about what we were thinking as well. But based on where things are now, we see no reason why we could not wrap this search up by May with your new president starting July 1. Charlene?
So, assessments. And I know you heard about this from the previous presenters, too, but we have assessments that are in-house. And we would do that for the president finalist candidates. And I just did this recently with another organization in California, actually last week. And the regents and the trustees so valued what they learned about the competencies, about how people respond when they're under stress, about what they bring when they're thinking about making changes and who they talk to, who they bring into the room. It was extremely helpful. And it was also really helpful for the candidates because they spend plenty of time doing these surveys, and then they have an hour to 2 hours with a professional psychologist and with us talking about how they function as leaders. And then I think the main thing, earlier there was some conversation about what are the competencies and what are you looking for in leaders today. So you're looking for visionary, operational, relational, and self-management. And the score of the tests that we have and the interactions that we have cover all of that.
And just a little bit more about our assessment. That is one additional data point that can be added to the body of work that we will present for the candidates. We don't recommend anyone using assessments as the sole decision or piece of information to make a decision about who to hire. But really, it's helpful in determining where that person, confirming where that person's strengths are and where they need support once they're onboarded. Not every leader is perfect. Everyone's going to have some strengths and weaknesses. The key will be the institution knowing how to best partner with that person in order for them to be successful. This is a little bit here about our search guarantee. So we are incredibly invested in your success and want your new leader to be successful. We mentioned earlier about the tenure of our placements being longer than the national median. And so we do provide a placement guarantee. Should the person that takes on the role leave in 12 months, we will come back and do the search again for no additional professional fee. So we have some skin in the game here to get this right. We'll be here listening, learning, and thinking about who might be the best match for you all at this time. And again, providing a guarantee that they will stay. Her longevity may be a concern. You'd love someone to come and stick around for a while. And so we do provide the search guarantee. Here's just some additional information about our fees and expenses. So we do have a preferred vendor agreement with the system. So these terms are the pricing engagement that is part of that contract. For this search, we would be happy to provide a 32% professional fee with a not-to-exceed fee of $110,000. That is the end of our slides. We're welcome and open to questions and additional conversation.
Thank you so much. I will first go to Regents on the committee if anyone has any questions. And I cannot see you at this moment.
Oh,
so
do I need to?
Actually, I think that probably they'll do it.
Okay.
But,
there they are.
There they are.
Okay, Regent McGrath.
Just quickly, thank you so much for the presentation. I really appreciate that. Can you talk a little more about your national network, just for identifying states, whether it be this active searching or passive candidates that would be identified and contacted?
I'm so sorry. You broke up a bit, so I didn't capture your whole question.
Is it about national outreach and how we recruit more specifically, Regent McGrath? Regent McGrath, unfortunately, I don't know if it's on our end, but we are having a difficult time understanding your question. It appears that maybe there are some issues right now. Because I'm sorry, because of some technology issues, we're going to take a 10-minute break.
Okay.
Thank you. I believe that our technology issues are hopefully resolved. So if everyone could please take your seats, we'll continue in just a few moments. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it looks like we better zoom it.
Thank you. So, Regent McGrath, we didn't really understand your question earlier, so would you mind repeating that, please?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. No problem at all. I just wanted to thank the presenters for the presentation and also just ask a little bit about what the Whitkiefer National Network looks like, and also more specifically, whether Whitkiefer seeks out, you know, passive candidates, those who aren't, you know, searching actively, or they focus more on those who are actively searching, and just to talk about that a bit. Thank you so much.
Sure, absolutely. Happy to answer that. So I mentioned that Charlene and I would be the team that would be working on this search. In addition, we would add an associate, one of our colleagues who has capacity and expertise to help us do proactive outreach. You know, the strongest candidates are going to be those that are not actively looking, that we're aggressively going after and reaching out to take a look at this. So we have our firm is global in scope. So we do have presence in all major metro areas across the country, as well as in the UK. And so we would reach, depending on what you all are looking for your next president, sometimes for some institutions it makes sense to look regionally, but we anticipate looking nationally and even internationally if that is desired for prospective candidates.
Thank you.
The only thing I would add is that we get nominations from people who aren't ready to leave, but they know somebody else who they think might not be ready to leave, but they see them as ready. And so we have deep conversations with those people too.
Thank you. Other questions from regents on the committee? Seeing none, I'll open it up to advisory member questions. Dr. Martini.
Hi, thank you for your presentation. I have three questions for you. Over the past 4 or 5 years, Nevada State has had several searches with Whitkiefer. Were you folks involved in any of those searches, and if so, which ones?
The dean for the School of Education, and I think we met when there was some screening of that.
And then I would like to know more about your in-depth behavioral interview. Could you talk more about that process? What are you trying to ascertain there? What does that look like, and how are you screening people?
Absolutely, sure. So we talk with candidates first to get just a general sense about their leadership, but then we tailor those interviews really focused on what are the things that the institution needs at this time, probing on those areas, ensuring that folks have adequate experience and can speak to those in a very clear way. That's what happens during the interview. During that interview, we also do some initial due diligence, which we didn't talk as much about, but our due diligence process does start at our very first conversation with a prospective candidate. But during that interview, we're also asking them about controversies in their background that we would need to be aware of, if they've ever been accused of harassment or discrimination at a previous institution, or has someone in their chain of command been accused of harassment or discrimination. We're also asking about accusations of plagiarism or academic dishonesty that may be in their background, as well as any accusations around and financial mismanagement, fraud, anything that may be out there, just so we are assuring that we have as much information as possible to present when the candidates come forward.
And then could you talk about your assessment process? I'm particularly interested in whether these are internal or external validated metrics and what coaching candidates get either before they receive the packet or after the packet is received and answered.
Sure. Charlene, you want to talk a little bit more about that?
I can. I was looking for the there's Hogan assessments you may have heard of, and then we go deeper than that with there are three different assessments that they have. And one is measuring personality and how one might be driven or how one might respond under stress. Another is about how one navigates organizational change in a very different way based on experience and how one responds to challenges that they received. And I don't remember the other one because I'm not the psychologist, but we do have people who are at the firm who have been doing this for many years. You know, I mentioned that we just had it done. And the psychologists who worked with those presidential candidates had done 300 in the past 3 years and had some really great information to share with the regents.
And are these metrics internal to Whitkiefer or are they established?
No. Benchmark externally for amongst other education leaders.
Thank you. Ms. Jones.
Hi, thank you. So something that came from some of my other constituents that they wanted to know was this may come possibly if you did some on-campus assessment and talked to folks in different constituent groups, but how do you find and or determine how candidates will develop other campus leadership? So, for example, you bring a president on. Again, are you looking for certain characteristics or how will you know if they have the ability to, coach up those other campus VPs and ensure that they have, collaboration and a good sense of trust and culture between them?
Yeah, so that does come up in several presidential searches of, how can this person build a team, develop a team? In some cases, a president is going to inherit a team. In some cases, a president's going to need to bring in an entirely new team based on the circumstances at that institution. So what we're doing is if that's something that's important to the campus, we are talking with candidates about what their experiences have been in those areas. And that could range from someone who may have come up from the faculty ranks, how are they developing more junior faculty to excel in their careers, and seeing if that development is even of interest to them and that it's been something that's been part of their leadership experience. So we do probe to see if those activities have occurred in their previous leadership experience. We're talking with someone who's been a president before, they may not have the experience of developing VPs specifically, but there should be some type of mentorship development of more junior people in their purview, in their experiences.
Thank you. Mr. Christensen?
Yes, we have some really special schools here. One of the biggest challenges that we have in our community is healthcare. We've got one of the top nursing schools on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting this last week with the superintendent of schools. She spoke very highly of Nevada State, our program, the things we're doing for them, and wants to do even more. And we need a lot of business folks mm-hmm. in our community. My question to you is these are kind of different academic programs and so mm-hmm. forth. How can you kind of tailor your search to these particular areas, which are critical for our community?
Yeah, so particularly around the nursing, academic medicine piece, that's one of the advantages that we bring as a firm because we do have that as a separate practice and have colleagues that have worked in that space. I have worked in that space. Charlene has worked in that space before as well. And so as part of our outreach and approach when we're thinking about, okay, who do we want to target to try to get into this search or who would be in a position to provide us nominations of strong candidates, we will take a look at what we sometimes call centers of excellence or centers of strength at the institution and identify leaders who may have those experiences or have had leadership experiences in those areas where it may make sense that a presidency could be a potential next step in their career. Our placement at Westfield State University was actually in the health sciences before becoming president, because that was an area of high need for the institution and in the region.
Thank you. Ms. Silva.
During your search, again, what are your methods that you will involve students and current faculty?
Do you want to take that one?
I'll start it. Because Christine and I have done this a lot, and students are our favorite. So my background has been in admissions and student success with faculty in an interdisciplinary research center, building curriculum with trustees and with faculty. So we love students. So we will host sessions with them. Yes, we will ask who. Clearly, you have the president of the student body here, so she might be a really good person to reach out to all sorts of affinity groups across campus, but it's really fun.
The only other thing that I would add to Charlene's comments is, you know, particularly at the later stages of the search, when you have candidates that are coming to campus, we'd probably recommend a forum just for students allow them an opportunity to engage with the candidates. Your process calls for feedback instruments for those campus visits to provide the committee with some feedback on how the your campus constituents viewed each candidate. And so what we would recommend is parsing that out, so you can have a survey that says my affiliation with the institution is faculty, administrator, staff, student, and that way you could parse out what the student feedback is on each candidate to, you know, see if there's a big difference between how the students view a candidate and as from other constituent groups.
Dr. Tapia.
You spoke a lot about interactions with students and whatnot, and our time frame seems a little... So the semester is about to end, so mm-hmm. we're not going to have very many students yeah. on campus to be able to hold these forums and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So what other steps do you envision doing to understand our culture, understand what we are as a university?
Yeah. So that timeline that we posted talked about starting in December, and that's really for some planning meetings, understanding that most people will be leaving campus and will not be around to participate in some forums. And your academic calendar doesn't have you all coming back until about mid-January. So we'd want to, you know, as soon as some folks are back on campus in January, we'd want to begin those, but we wouldn't conclude those until everyone's back and has had an opportunity to weigh in. We can host those both in person and via Zoom. So I actually recently hosted a listening session for a client where we had 186 participants, which was a very robust number for attendance at a listening session. I want to say it was probably the largest one that I've ever managed. But so we can do that to help capture voices and feedback as well, in addition to any in-person meetings that we would have. But we wouldn't want to launch until all constituent groups had an opportunity to weigh in and provide their feedback on what they want the next president to accomplish and what are the qualities and qualifications that would help them be successful in this environment. Anything to add?
I would just say that in addition to the survey tool, we'd want to find out, is that the best way to reach out to students and get their feedback, right? Because I know email at one point in time is definitely not the way to reach them. So we would find that out, what's best on this campus. I mean, yesterday I was walking around and I saw students with their pups and I saw them running around with groceries. So, you know, we can walk around too. Thank you. Ms. Pierce.
Thank you, Chair. Hello. Thank you for talking about the student perspective. I was actually going to ask that, so thank you for asking that. I guess my question can be kind of shortened. What's a challenge that you have faced previously when working with students to get feedback? And as you did mention, you're going to figure out what the best method is to get feedback from students. We are, as a student, we are very surveyed out. So how would you approach that? And what other methods do you have in mind? Thank you.
The in-person listening sessions would be ideal, and we can host those at different times. So if your student body is one that primarily works or commutes, having something maybe too far into the evening after classes have ended and people are just kind of hanging around, would need to hang around to be able to attend a listening session might not be ideal. But we would try to host those in a manner that fits well with what your community needs and how they operate here. The other thing that really attracts students, we also want to have food. So that's been a way to get students engaged and to come out and provide their feedback. So we would absolutely probably do that as well.
Thank you. Any other questions for Whit Kiefer? I'll open it up to those on Zoom as well, Regents not on the committee or those who are. Seeing no other comments or questions, thank you so much for your presentation today.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, and we hope we get a chance to partner with you all on this journey, but wish you best of luck, whatever the decision is. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, our next and final presenter is AGB. I believe we have Dr. Gary Owens here with us, and Dr. Laura Woodworth-Ney is on Zoom. So, Dr. Owens, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. And good morning to all of you. It's been an interesting morning, I think, with with the live stream going down and so on. I'm Gary Owens, Senior Executive Search Consultant at AGB Search. I was fortunate enough to be on the search team 4 years ago that brought President Pollard to the institution. I got to know her quite well, and it's just exciting to see what's happening to her, but also exciting to see what might be happening to you over the course of time. I'd like to first introduce you to our colleague. Sorry, I ran in from the... from the lobby there, Laura Woodworth-Ney, who is currently in Idaho, which is her home, with a case of bronchitis. So she's not able to travel, and I'm here for both of us. So, Laura, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and you can go ahead with your portion of the presentation.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Gary. I apologize for my voice, which is why I am not with you in person today. But it is exciting for us to have this opportunity to meet with you and at this really critical juncture for Nevada State. You know, you're seeing enrollment growth. This is an exciting time for the institution, and we would love to be a part of finding your next president. A little bit about us, AGB Search. We were founded as an affiliate of the Association of Governing Boards. This was in 2010 at the request of our membership. Our members requested, the Association of Governing Board members requested that there would be presidential search support through the Association of Governing Boards. And that is why we were initially founded. So we've been around since 2010. We are a national search firm. We've conducted searches in every state and in the U.S. territories of Puerto Rico and Guam as well. We are recognized as one of the top 50 executive search firms, as was mentioned earlier today. And we are a member of the Association of Executive Search and Leadership Consultants, AESC, and we adhere to their code of professional conduct. Moving on to the next slide, we have conducted more than 350 presidential searches for public, private, HBCUs, HSI, all types of institutions since we were founded in 2010. We have achieved a 95% a successful placement rate overall since 2010. And in terms of client satisfaction, we are very proud to say that more than 95% of respondents have rated us as excellent or very good. More than 97% of respondents have said that our pool development was excellent or very good. And more than 92% of respondents have rated us as a firm overall as excellent or very good. We also have some representative searches here for you. I'm not going to read these to you, but a lot of publics in the region, in the Nevada region, we just finished a search for a president at Utah Tech University, for example. We have been working in Colorado, in Idaho, in Oregon, in California, all of the surrounding states, and throughout the country. Over 50% of our placements are women or people of color, and our placements have stayed on average for 3 to 5 years overall. A little bit about your team, that would be Gary and I. We will also have a research associate assigned to our team who will help us research candidates who are not looking for jobs, but who fit your profile. We will work with you, as Gary will talk about in a few minutes, to develop that profile. And then we will use that as the North Star to recruit a diverse and widely varied pool for you. I am Laura Woodworth Nye. I'm a principal with the firm. I have been there for about 4 years. Prior to that, had a 30-plus year career in higher education. I was a tenured faculty member for more than 20 years in history at Idaho State University, where I was also the executive vice president and provost, and a number of other administrative posts. I am a Westerner. As Gary mentioned, I live in Idaho and also in Colorado, and so feel very confident about understanding the region, understanding the uniqueness of recruiting to a Western institution in Nevada. And with that, I will turn it over to Gary.
And we're located in the Tucson area, so it's almost close enough to drive. If one didn't have to go through Phoenix, it probably would be okay to do that, but you can kind of go around it. So I'm Gary Owens. As I mentioned earlier, this is my 20th year as a search consultant after 17 as an academic administrator. I retired as dean of the College of Visual and Performing Arts, where I was founding dean at Texas Tech University. And since then, I've joined several, well, two search firms, the most recent being AGB Search. You can see some of the things that I've done fairly recently. One of them, luckily, was at my alma mater, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where we did the chancellor search a couple of years ago, which has turned out very successfully there, but also several others. And
looks
I mentioned,
like it wasn't your issue, Jennifer. It apparently just whoever talks last gets locked out.
Regent Gokachia?
I guess so.
Regent McGrath, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay. But I've done over 100 searches overall at all levels, really, but many chancellors and president searches recently. All of my degrees from UW-Madison, Bachelor of Music, Master of Music, and PhD. I'd like to talk a little bit briefly about our process. And what we try to do is that every search really needs to fit your criteria, your search process. And having been through that process once before, I can tell you that this is really a wonderfully streamlined way to do things. You know, where we're working with the search chair and the chancellor on the process, actively recruiting as we typically do, but working with that group, and then having in-depth conversations on candidates, their potential, all of those kinds of things, and then eventually bringing them to campus for interviews as finalists, where the committee then becomes involved in the process. So I think, you know, with your timeline being July 1st, I think it would work very nicely in terms of our experience, being able to move through that process pretty quickly. We can do a lot of things at the outset, that if you're interested in them, listening sessions are somewhat helpful, where we can get together with groups of people and find out, you know, what the interests are in terms of a new president and that sort of thing. But we basically want to do this the way you feel it's important for it to be done, and then we can fit into that process. We also know your open meetings laws, having been through that process before, and I've had a couple of searches that are like that. North Dakota had some pretty, in fact, in meetings like this, we would have had media present and answering questions during the process, perhaps, and so on. So that's probably among the more leaning toward totally open process, but several others that have been. And I think everybody is kind of going to some degree to that, so I think it's helpful. We'll recruit actively candidates for you. We do that in a lot of different ways. Certainly advertising is one. But we also get out on the phone, contact people. You know, between Laura and I, we have a number of people that we know right now who might be interested in this particular search, knowing a lot about the place. Although I should tell you, when we started the search in 2020, everything was fine. In February of 21, I fell on a bike accident, broke my collarbone, which didn't allow me to do much of anything. So this is the first time I've had a chance actually to be here. We were doing everything remotely that first time. But at any rate, we'll work with you to recruit candidates, actively get them in the pool, make sure that we commit to them throughout the entire process, and then work with, as I said, the chancellor and the search chair to be able to bring candidates to campus. The process itself, we can maybe move ahead to the slide that's got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, unless I have a way to do that here. You have all of these, I think, anyway, so we don't need to read through everything. But at any rate, it's typically about a six-month process, but I think we could streamline that, certainly. If we started first of the year, certainly that would get you to 6 months in July with an appointment, so I don't think there's any difficulty with that. So since you have the slides, let me go back to Laura for the extra kinds of things that we can offer in the process, and we'll go to the questions after that.
We also have optional services and assessments. Hogan assessments have already been discussed today, but we also do Hogan assessments, and those include strategic self-awareness, work style traits, core values, and potential derailment risks. I mentioned earlier that we're tracking our placements and that the minimum is 3 to 5 years across our spectrum. These Hogan assessments assist with ensuring that these will be last longing presidents, presidents who will stay longer than the national average, which is a little bit over 4 years currently. So that number, average number of years in office, has come down significantly, according to our research at the Association of Governing Boards and research at the American Council of Education as well, is tracking that. So overall, presidents are staying a shorter time, but these assessments are important in helping ensure that your president will stay for a good amount of time. We also offer executive comp, which allows you to ensure that you're competitive, that your salaries are competitive, and executive coaching services, which will help onboard the president, which will assist with the president's transition to the role, especially if they are new to the position. They're not coming from a sitting president position. And then we also offer a search guarantee. And this is a guarantee that if the selected candidate is not made an offer for any reason, we will complete another search over the next 6 month period. Or if the selected candidate leaves voluntarily, or is terminated for cause, we will redo the search as well. At no additional fee. And then we have provided our fees and expenses. We have are offering a flat fee for this search based on what was charged in the previous presidential search that Gary mentioned before that placed your most recent president. That search fee was $63,000. We've kept that fee the same. We have added a client service and support fee to that of $3,000. That is because we do have additional services, administrative services now that we did not have when that previous search was conducted. But overall, the flat fee will remain the same as it did when you conducted the previous search. And we've included additional information here about due diligence, which of course we will assist you with, and in-depth assessment, background checks, and social media checks, which are very important now, media checks overall, which are also increasingly important for presidential searches. And with that, we'll take any questions that you might have for us.
Thank you so much. I will open it up to questions from the regents on the committee first, if there are any. If not, I will also open it up to advisory members if you have any questions for AGB. Ms. Silva.
For student involvement, what are the plans that you have? As you said, you conducted a search here previously. What was done in that search to involve students that you'll be either doing or doing more of? Sure.
There are a couple of ways to do that. First of all would be the, you know, the listening session format that we have at the beginning. We've always included students in that as well as faculty, staff, community members, alumni sometimes. So that would be a portion of it. And then certainly during the campus interviews, there would be considerable involvement in terms of it, of having students in sessions with the presidential candidates.
And I can just add to that, that recently we've done a number of things with students, including meals on campus. We have set up, for one of the searches that I've done recently, we set up a info desk just out in the student union, and students who were just wandering by gave us their feedback because we determined that email wasn't the best course of action for that campus. So we will certainly work with you and your student leadership to determine what the best way is to reach your students.
Now, email is generally not the best way on any campus to be able to make those contacts.
Thank you. Next, I'll go to Dr. Dockweiler, and then Ms. DeBonis, and then Regent Arascata.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Thank you for the presentation. My question builds on the previous question. In addition to students, looking back at the search that you ran for Dr. Pollard, are there things that you would do differently, or are there things you would do similarly, or would you just conduct it exactly the same as before?
Well, you know, you have board policies that dictate search process. So there are a certain number of those things that obviously have to be adhered to. There's no question about that. You know, in terms of doing things differently, it's unfortunate that I wasn't able to be around for some of the campus process and the other processes as well, because I think having a chance, it seems that we're asked a lot of good, really important questions about how people are performing in terms of that process. So I'd like to see us involved in that as well. But, you know, getting a broad base of information from people who are constituencies of the president, and there are many of those, including community members, particularly in this area where you're, you know, you have a, you know, a strong community nearby that keeps you together and informed. But I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more of that perhaps if we could. But, you know, all of that is within board policy and making sure that we're not violating any of the tenets of that. Laura, do you have any thoughts on that? You weren't part of the search, but.
No, I think I was still the provost at Idaho State during that time. But certainly We would review our processes from that previous search, and it's a different time. You know, you are seeking a different type of president. The institution has evolved since then, and so we would certainly look forward to hearing the listening session feedback, finding out more about what the critical junctures are now, the critical points for the institution, which certainly have evolved and changed since that previous search. And also higher ed has changed as well. We are in a transformative period in higher education. This is a fast-moving period of time for higher ed. We need to be able to recruit candidates who can thrive and who enjoy this time, who have passion for higher education as it is today. And so we would certainly work with you to do that.
And one last thing, too. You were at as Laura mentioned, you were at a different point then. You were really looking for someone to be able to take the institution where she certainly was able to take it. Not only the name change, but also the increases in enrollment, which is not typical in a lot of places that we're looking at. I mean, enrollments are decreasing all over. But you needed a lot of help in those areas, and that was very informative in terms of being able to structure that. I think there's a little different process now because a lot of these things have been established, and you're beginning to take them to the next step in that whole process. So thank you for the question.
Thank you. Ms. DeBonis.
Good morning. I just have a question on the optional services and assessments. Mm-hmm. Are those included, or it sounds like they're not included and they would be an additional expense?
Yeah, I can let Laura, you want to chip in on that a little bit?
Yeah, those optional services would come with an additional expense. They are optional to you. We can certainly tailor a package for you that would include the optional assessments that you want. That can also include anti-bias training for the committee. It can include onboarding. It can include coaching. And we can create a package that has a flat rate that would include those elements. Or you could decide later, after you have started the search, what pieces you would want. And some boards have made that decision after they've hired, after they've chosen the president, and then decided whether or not that person needed coaching, for example, in a certain area, what type of onboarding support. We do include onboarding for up to a year that is part of the flat fee. And so that would not be additional, but coaching would be an additional expense.
Right, and the Hogan assessment that Laura had mentioned earlier would be an additional fee as well, but we have a trained person who can interpret results. I found that to be, there are a couple of searches, presidential searches I've done over the past couple of years that have used that, and basically it's beginning to match traits of the person within the traits of the institution and the board so that you have a little bit more information on which to base your choice. Good questions, though.
Thank you. Regent Arascata, thank you for your patience, and hopefully we'll be able to hear you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
We can.
Perfect. Either Laura or Barry, approximately how many locations will you be doing the advertising into, or do you have any individuals out right now that have voiced interest in the position?
Well, we wouldn't have had that because no one really knows about it till you select us and we can begin work, which we're hoping for. But we do use some of the typical journals, Chronicle Higher Education, Insight Higher Ed, so on, diversity journals. All of those kinds of things will be the print and electronic advertisements. But also we have a huge database that we're developing, and from that then we're going to be doing some individual mailing to people that comes from the two of us and invites conversation so that we can begin to approach people. Beyond that, then, there's also people that the two of us know that we want to reach out to for that sort of setting. So that's it, basically. I mean, and we have, as Laura mentioned, we have a research associate who really keeps us informed and keeps the momentum going on all that. In fact, I got a couple of those things on another search this morning that I want to be able to follow up on. So we do try to keep track of everybody and get them involved. And it's recruiting. So we're trying to say, you know, this is something you really need to consider. This is an important position and an important place, and this is a great time to be here. So, Laura, fill in if you'd like on that.
Yeah, I would just add that we'll build an advertising plan based on the needs of the institution, based on the profile. That said, the advertising we have found is less of a recruiting tool and more of a marketing tool. You definitely want to use it to market the institution, to market this opportunity. But in terms of recruiting, the passive recruiting that Gary and I would be doing, the outreach that we will be doing, the research, the original research that our research associate will conduct on the market, will be the most valuable in terms of recruiting a robust pool for you. But that advertising is important, and we will build a plan that aligns with the institution and the profile, individualized to your needs.
And one element that we left out, if I can just finish that quickly, sorry to interrupt. We also develop a leadership profile, which is a compilation of all of the things that we're doing. If we do listening sessions, information that we get from the campus, in a document that we can then put online. And that basically is an area from which we can recruit candidates, because we're showing a little bit more than an advertisement can show. A lot more about the institution, a lot more about the position. Sorry. I stepped in on someone there.
I don't think so. I think we're
okay.
Any other questions? Dr. Martini.
Thank you for your presentation. In your process, you indicate that you're going to be assessing candidates' cultural alignment with Nevada State. What elements of your process help you determine Nevada State's culture, first? And second, what is it that you do exactly that ensures alignment with our culture?
That's an interesting question. I mean, having some experience with the institution in the past certainly helps me with that, and Laura and I certainly are going to be working together. But I think that's the important element of getting some sort of listening session developed, because that allows us to understand that part of the equation a little bit better. It's difficult to do that from a distance. It's difficult to do that just looking at your website, although there's some information on there. But I know you're a very diverse campus. You're very diverse in lots of ways. I mean, just sitting out in the lobby as I was, students of all ages coming in here, all backgrounds. It's a wonderful place to be able to develop that. My first college teaching position was a lot like that. I was at the University of Michigan campus in Flint, where I had many students who were older than I. I was younger then, but they were older than I. We had a wonderful time together. I could learn a lot from them. But, I mean, Nevada State seems to be a place like that to me. And that's been my observation, and certainly was the observation from the last search. So, I mean, that's something I think we can share with candidates, and they can share their interest in being in such a place as well, I mean, with us. So hopefully we'll want a deep dive into all of that, because that's one of the most important elements that candidates are looking for. So what's this place like? Can I be a help there?
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Chair. Can you just speak to how you incorporate alumni perspectives in your process, and what is important for you to hear from alumni as you evaluate candidates?
Well, it's interesting. You didn't have quite as many alumni the last time I was here. You've had a lot more since. But, no, we want to get, I mean, just from the standpoint of understanding how they perceive the institution, how much it's affected them. And obviously from your student reports that you've had recently, there's a very positive feel about that among current students. But we'd want to find out what alumni are thinking. The president, in fact, I'm president of a School of Music Alumni Association at UW-Madison, and it's really fun getting to people, asking them about, you know, what was it like when you were there? What do you think about? Because faculties will change drastically over the amount of time that it's been since I was an undergraduate, for example, and you want to see how that process is being viewed, whether people are continuing to feel positive about the institution and that. So I think we'd want to do that. I mean, as Laura and I both mentioned, getting to some sort of listening session with all of the groups that I mentioned earlier, students, faculty, staff, alumni, community, whatever you'd like to have as contact, we'd like to get a sense for all of those. There's also a document that we can put online that allows people to just go to a website and answer a questionnaire. And it's not necessarily a questionnaire where you tick off, you know, like all of us get when we've rented a car or something like that, 1 through 5, and, you know, if you have any comments. This is all comments. So we can get a pretty strong impression from that about what people think. And it's all anonymous. So I hope that helps.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions for AGB, I will say thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you again for your time. We deeply appreciate it and look forward to the opportunity of working with all of you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We will move on to item number 5, which is the selection of the search firm. So at this time, I'd like to open it up to regents on the committee who would like to begin any discussion, or if you have a motion, I'll entertain that at this time. Or I will open it up to advisory members as well to give your input on who you think would be the best search firm for this search for Nevada State.
Chair, I'd like to chime in.
Yes, Regent Downs, please go ahead.
I think I'd be confident with any of the three. You've selected some really good firms to conduct this process, and I think they all show a history of success. I do like the pricing of academic search over the others. It's a little bit lower. That's always a factor, but I don't know if I can just say. I mean, I'm trying to weigh them all. I'm probably most comfortable with AGB at this point.
Thank you, Regent Downs. AGB being the last presenter that we had, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Dr. Martini.
Comment?
Sure. Regent Arescotta, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Following with Regent Downs, I do really appreciate all three presentations. However, I too saw a proven leadership and the choice of leaderships with AGB. However, I do want to listen to all of the advisory members prior to making a motion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Regent Arescotta. Dr. Martini.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As part of what I think is my due diligence as an academic faculty member, I've asked several folks on campus what their perspectives were on three of the search candidates. And Whit Kiefer has been part of our search for several upper executives over the past 5 years. And there's a feeling on campus that we would prefer some diversity in the search firms that are looking for Nevada State's next president. I'd also like to say that I appreciated all of the presentations, but I felt a real synergy with campus culture when academic search was presenting. I think there's a lot of the process that they highlighted that is deeply ingrained with the culture between academic and administrative faculty, of classified staff and students that fits the environment here at Nevada State University. So thank you for the opportunity to be part of this process.
Thank you, Dr. Dockweiler.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For brevity, I will just echo Dr. Martini's comments, and I appreciated Academic Search for specifically calling out that they're listening for the soft skills that may not necessarily be named, but they're pulling those out and want to make sure that they're hitting those key targets. So I just wanted to specifically identify that, because the work that we do, it's very human-centered in education. So I just want to make sure. I very much appreciated all the presentations, but I like how Academic Search specifically named that.
Thank you. Dr. Tapia.
I want to echo what my colleague, Dr. Martini, said. I thought Academic Search presented all the qualities that we encompass here as a university. And they, as Dr. Dockweiler mentioned, presented those soft skills that we haven't had in upper leadership that we sorely need now. And I just think their presentation was everything that we were looking for as a faculty member. That's my perspective.
Ms. Silva?
I would have to agree that Academic Search would be my top pick, and then Kiffer. As an alum during the 2020 search, I did not feel I was taken into account or some of the other students. I do think AGB Search presented very well. And again, as Dr. Martini mentioned, all three of them would be somebody that I think would have the best interest of our students. However, just trying something different, either with Academic Search or WIT Cover.
Thank you. Ms. Wallace.
I'm going to echo everything that everyone else has already said, but I also have some concern with AGB, with their optional services. We don't know what those costs are, and we may need them. That's just my sentiment.
Ms. Johns.
Thank you, Chair. I think, in my opinion, the preference would be either Academic Search or WIT Kiefer. I did enjoy that Academic Search mentioned that a third of their work does support ASCU institutions, so they would have a real good understanding of our campus. Additionally, I like that they mentioned, sort of unprompted, the importance of student support services and how candidates need to understand that and their impact on student retention. As administrative staff, that is a lot of what, or as an administrative staff, I can say that's what a lot of our admin on our campus do, is that direct student support. I think with AGB, again, just kind of echoing what other folks said, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong with any of them, but I do see also just some of the data points with Academic Search and WIT Kiefer were a little higher in terms of average tenure, in terms of their successful candidates that they've placed in their diversity. And while obviously we need to focus on the qualifications and their characteristics, I think tenure can't be overstated as well. That's how you really help to build a culture and continuity on a campus. I know Mr. Christensen had said that we had, what, 7 presidents in our first 9 or 10 years? Yeah, I'm sure that didn't. I wasn't here then, but thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Wright.
I would like to echo what my fellow advisory board members around the table have said, with my preference being Academic Search. I do like that their only focus is higher education as opposed to being more broadly across the nonprofit sector. I think WIT Kiefer would do a good job, and they've shown success on our campus, but again, my preference is Academic Search. With AGB, my main worry is they have their base price plus all of the extra fees that we don't know about yet because those weren't presented to us. So I worry that the costs could add up quickly and we might not know what we're getting into if we hire them without knowing those fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wright.
Regent Ariscotta, I don't know if you would like to make another comment. Or anyone else?
Oh, is that the conclusion of the search committee?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Your advisors?
It doesn't look like any. I do have one more, or a few more now. Thank you. I will go to them. I appreciate your willingness to let the advisory members speak. So next I'll go to Mr. Muehlrath and then to Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple thoughts. I found Whit Kiefer, not a technical observation, but I found them to have a charm to them that I thought aligned with Nevada State University. I thought they had a good rapport at the podium, which I think is, you know, important to try and infer from that. But when you look at placements, the representative placements by AGB really was without compare. I think also there should be a recognition of, with deference to to Dr. Pollard, but finding candidates that have a distinct West Coast or Mountain West background to them, I think is very important, because whether it's in business or higher education, it's a real thing if you're from the West or from the East. And excuse me, finding someone that may be more tenured in their stay here, can appreciate the Southwest as a firm. They share some, you know, some geography with the Southwest as well, in their biographies and their backgrounds. But they had a lot of successful placements at universities that surround us, and I think that's very important.
Thank you. Mr. Christensen.
I found the presentations all very, very interesting, and I think there were three good firms here today. I think it's absolutely critical that you as the chair and the members of the committee feel comfortable with the search committee, or the search firm, whichever one you decide. I trust this faculty. I'm very persuaded by the fact that so many of them felt the same about the group. You know, I'm not out here on a day-to-day basis as a business person. I find it odd that the people that are going to be supervised get to pick the supervisor, but that's fine. But I think academic search would be good. I was also impressed with Kiefer. I like the fact that they chose the dean, and when the superintendent of schools has good things to say about our institution, I think that's important. But
thank you. Any other advisory members? Regent Ariscotta?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
I'd like to make a motion.
Regent Ariscotta, I do now see Regent Brown. Her hand is up. Mm-hmm. If you would like to wait for her, or we can, if you would like to make the motion now, that's your choice.
I'd like to wait for her, please.
Thank you. Regent Brown.
Hi, Regent Brown for the record. I will just echo what I heard around the table and share that I had personally had a great experience working with Academic Search for the CSN, and it sounded like they were coming with that same expertise, and I would be in favor of Academic Search.
Thank you, Regent Brown, for your perspective. Regent Ariscotta, I do also see Regent Boylan's hand up now, so I'll go to him really quick.
Oh, thanks, Madam Chair. Appreciate it. They were great presentations, great forums. But as always, I have an issue with us spending so much money on these search firms. So if you permit me, I'd like to ask the students sitting there in the search committee a question. Madam Chair, am I permitted to do that?
What's your question, Regent Boylan?
My question to the young lady is, roughly what is the total amount you would be spending in a year on your fees, young lady? And I'll tell you why, because it follows up with something else that has to do with this search. So.
Regent Boylan, I prefer not to put a student on the spot like that. I think each student.
No, ma'am.
If you're asking what.
Can you tell me then how much does it cost for a student to go to NSU for 1 year? That's fine. That's fine. Can you or anybody else at that table tell me?
I might be able to come up with a rough estimate, but that's based on current, tuition prices.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
That's probably not an accurate view of that. And students do spend different amounts. So it's very hard for me to come up with that. But you're welcome to look at our policies to find what Nevada State's tuition is based on credit.
That's not the point, ma'am. That's not the point. My point is this. We have enough people at NSHE to do these searches, but we go on spending $120,000 plus minus to get consultants and others outside. That money, we could send like 4 students to college for a year.
I certainly appreciate your perspective, and I agree with you in terms of making sure that we are fiscally responsible with taxpayers' money. At this point, though, the board approved for this committee to move forward with a search consultant. So this is what we have in front of us today, and you're welcome to give your perspective on which of the three presentations you find most informative. But at this point, I don't know if it's appropriate to be debating whether we should be spending money on a search consultant because we've already made that decision.
Oh, no, I hear you, ma'am. Thank you. I'm not debating it. That's just my statement. And that's all I had to say about that because, like I said, they're all really good. I don't think we should take AGB because of one of our regents being part of their group. It just gives a very sour taste about AGB being selected if they are. So that's my opinion, and I thank you for letting me speak freely. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Then I will go to Regent Arriscada. Thank you for your patience again.
My pleasure, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, if I make a motion, may I make a motion, please?
You may. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to commence a national search for the next president of Nevada State University. And on that motion, I'd like to place Academic Search, the first presenter, as the search committee member, as the search committee.
Thank you. So there is a motion on the floor from Regent Arriscada to select Academic Search as our search consultant. Is there a second?
Oh, I'll second that.
Okay, then I have a second from Regent Downs. I'll open it up for any other discussion. Seeing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion does carry. So our search consultant for the Nevada State presidential search will be Academic Search. Thank you very much. All right, we will move on to item number 6, new business. Is there any new business for this committee? Seeing none, I will go to public comment. Is there any public comment here at Nevada State University? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
No callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I will close public comment. And at this time, this meeting is adjourned at 11:06.